Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It has always bothered me that at funeral processions here in Billings, very few people are willing to stop their cars or move out of the way or show any kind of reverence at all. Where I grew up and where I've served before, people generally stopped their cars and paid some sort of respect as the funeral procession went by. Traffic laws there even demanded that the funeral procession had the right of way. Not so much in the wilder West. Maybe not in the Midwest anymore either. Cars rush to get around the hearse. Believe it or not, people pull up next to us and point and laugh. Sometimes they honk. Sometimes they're just so entirely oblivious to what's going on that they don't even see us. Even the police officers here have barely batted an eye. Things to do, people to see, work to get done, hurry, hurry, rush, rush, mock and laugh so that we don't cry. In our text today, you heard about two great processions. The text says they were megalos processions. Jesus and his crowd coming into the city, and the widow and her procession coming out of the city on her way to bury her young dead son. Jesus breaks all the rules. He doesn't get off the road. He doesn't move his group over to the side to pay their respects. He doesn't join them and go with them to the grave as would have been common in that day. No, he just stands there, right in the middle of the road, showing no respect whatsoever for death. And then he goes up and he touches the bier. He puts his hands on it and makes himself unclean. And those carrying the body stand completely still. This is simply not done. But his interruption, unlike those finger-wagging, horn-blowing mockers in Billings, his is a welcome interruption. You know what happens. You can imagine the tension that must have built as these two groups, great large groups, came together and met on the road. Something had to give. One of our hymns says, "It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life, the reign of death was ended." Another one says, "Death and life have contended in that combat stupendous. The Prince of Life who died reigns immortal." Of course, these hymns reference Jesus' cross and the battle that was waged there between the one who is life and the one who holds the power of death. But is this event not also a mini Easter? We don't know how that young man died. It doesn't really matter, does it? The result was the same, no matter how it came about, and his mother was left alone. She was a widow. Her husband had died too. This was her only son. She had nothing left. In the bold face of death, the world really has nothing of any substance which they can offer. No human words suffice here for this mother. No amount of makeup can bring the color back to his face. No tears from her eyes will put breath back into his lungs. We prepare the body as we can with reverence and with as much composure as we can muster. We travel with the woman to the cemetery and bury her son, hoping in the resurrection of the dead. And then we go our way, trying to pay attention to the things in this world, while our thoughts are very far away from it. But it would not happen like that on this day, not this time. The procession of death meets the giver of life at the narrow city gate, and there is really only one thing that can happen. Jesus sees this widow and her son, and his guts are churned up within him, the text says. He has compassion on her. He's not afraid of death, certainly not afraid of becoming unclean. But if it was anyone else stopping the procession, anyone else saying to this woman, "Do not weep," the entire crowd would have been offended and incensed. Perhaps some of them still were. But Jesus' words are not like the powerless words of this world. His words are comfort and life. The procession of death must do more than stop. It must come to its end. "Young man, I say to you, arise." He doesn't ask Jesus into his heart. He doesn't make a decision to follow him. He is dead. And he sits up and begins to speak. Because the world has nothing to offer in the face of death, when someone who does come along, who not only has something to say, but who actually holds within himself the answer to this universal problem, those who hear those words that he speaks and then witness the miraculous life-giving event, they are seized by fear. Not so much because they're worried that God is going to strike them down because they're sinful. They've just witnessed the opposite. One who has died to sin has been raised to life. They're afraid because only God has the power over death. And now he's standing right in front of them. Though their knowledge is not yet complete, it becomes evident to all of them there that God has visited his people. How many mothers and fathers wish that they could experience the joy of having their son and daughter returned to them in this life after a tragic and early death? And though we do not see this divine intervention as clearly or as often in our day as in the days of our Lord, it does not mean that God is not in control, or that he is not dwelling with his people, or that he is not still giving life to dead people. He did not promise us a life without suffering, but a life with a cross that will not end in glory here, but in eternity with him there. It wasn't long after Jesus raised this widow's son that he was being processed out of the city gates as a man condemned. On that Good Friday, it appeared as though death would have the final word. It seemed that this dead man was not going to open his mouth anymore. But as you well know, things are not always as they appear. The devil and his evil minions had not won that day. The Lord of life defeated death through death. He defeated the devil with his own weapon, and he did not remain silent about it. First, Jesus descended into hell to proclaim his victory to those who had not believed in him before. And then after keeping the Sabbath rest in his earthen tomb, he took up his life and his human body again, and he burst forth from the tomb as victor over death and the devil once and for all. What was first whispered in fear behind locked doors and in quiet conversations has now been shouted from the rooftops to the praise and glory of God, who has not only visited his people for a time, but who remains with them forever. Your Lord is the Lord of the living, not of the dead. There is no way that Jesus could have passed that desolate wife and mother without comforting her, or that young dead man and left him dead. Death is anathema to life, and Jesus has visited his people to give us life, to open the gate of paradise again, to restore the way to the tree of life, that we would live forever, not in sin, but in righteousness. And because he died and rose again, because he lives, because we are in him through baptism, because we have heard his words of life, we live also. The whole town of Nain came to know that day what the scriptures clearly teach, that the wages of sin is death in mortal bodies, and that one day everyone will die. But they also learned just as certainly that because of Jesus Christ, God with us, visiting us in the flesh, they did not need to live in fear of the devil or of their sins or even of the day of their death. The Lord of life met death head on, and he has destroyed its power and its sting forever. Death is swallowed up by Jesus Christ. Jesus has spoken this word of life and forgiveness in your ears. He has washed you clean in the waters of holy baptism. And now he feeds you again with his own body and blood to comfort your troubled conscience, to take away your fear of death and sin, and to strengthen you for the trials and tribulations of this earthly life that always end in sadness, so that you would more greatly yearn for that life that he has earned for you that is yet to come. Jesus has done it all. He has spoken it, and by it you live. These two great processions became one procession on that day. Not traveling the road of death to the graveyard any longer, but traveling together into the city rejoicing that God had come and visited them with his mercy. They didn't know it yet, but this prophet from God did not just come to raise that widow's son. He did not just come to stop that one funeral procession in its tracks. He came to destroy the power of death for all people forever. And that is exactly what he has done. We deserve death for our sins. But instead, our God has been merciful and joyfully given us life. The next time you see a funeral procession driving through Billings, I hope you'll slow down for a minute and show some respect to the family who is mourning the loss of a loved one. And at the same time, I hope it will be a reminder to you of this day, of the day when two great crowds of people met at the gate and the funeral procession that Jesus brought to an end. I hope that you will ask your Lord to teach you to number your days aright and to remember that this life is fleeting, and remind you again and again that Jesus died and took away your sins and rose to life again so that one day you would live again, that you would know the joy of the resurrection that this young man experienced. This is hard for us to grasp, a dead man coming to life. But that's what God has done in sending his Son. He rose from the dead. He lives and reigns to all eternity. He has done this for you. Let us pray. Forgive me, Lord, for thy dear Son, the ills that I this day have done, that with the world, myself, and thee, I err, I sleep, at peace may be. Teach me to live that I may dread the grave as little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awful day. O may my soul in thee repose, and may sweet sleep mine eyelids close. Sleep that shall make me more vigorous to serve my God when I awake. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.